The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Oh, what a playoff debut in a Bucks uniform for Damian Lillard, who answered a lot of critics. And you got the sense, watching the first half tonight, that this was a Bucks team, and Damian Lillard specifically, that had heard all the chatter and had heard that just about everywhere you looked, you saw people picking the Indiana Pacers in this series. I know the absence of Giannis is huge, but let's not forget what this team still has, and that is Damian Lillard, who has made a history of performances like we saw certainly in the first half throughout the playoffs in his career. You still have guys like Chris Middleton, like Bobby Portis, like Brooke Lopez, who have all been in these spots, Pat Connaughton as well, won together as a team on deep playoff runs. And a guy like Pat Beverly as well, who I thought really ignited the defense for the Bucks tonight. That was one of the bigger differences that we saw, not just the play of Damian Lillard in the first half, but the way this Bucks defense was really locked in. It did not become a track meet. You know what the playoffs are about is adjustments. You get time to go back and look at what did work, what didn't work, what do we got to change here. I think you saw some of that in the second half, and Doc Rivers made that point as well. You're going to assume you're going to see a lot more of it defensively from the Indiana Pacers and how they match up with Damian Lillard, how they try to get the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker, especially if the Bucks are going to play game two, which we don't know yet, without Giannis. But I think the big thing for the Pacers is, look, we have to change the pace of this game. The Bucks did a terrific job making this a half-court game. And it appeared as though what we saw defensively, one of the other things, obviously Pat Beverly and what he did at the point of attack. Think about the number of times, or lack thereof, we saw the Pacers beating their man at the point of attack, getting into the lane and putting that pressure on Brooke Lopez. That was the story of the first five games in the regular season. Even the game the Bucks won, that was still an issue for this team. It was not tonight. And I think another big part of that is we saw a lot of Pascal Siakam in this game. And I do believe, and I don't know that Doc Rivers would admit to this, I do believe that was by design. You saw Brooke Lopez matched up on Pascal Siakam, and you may think to yourself, well, that does not seem like that would be the best strategy, or that would be the best matchup for Brooke Lopez. It makes a whole lot of sense. Some of the similarities he has with Miles Turner, that he'd be a Miles Turner. He was not all the time. And you can't help but think maybe that was part of this, too. Of, you know, if the Pacers are playing through Pascal Siakam, they're going to be more of a half-court team. They're not going to be playing at quite that high of a pace. It's going to take the ball out of Tyrese Halliburton's hands a bit more. There's been a lot of questions about Tyrese Halliburton, too. Whether or not he was the guy we saw in those first five regular season matchups and really the first 2 months of the regular season, or the guy that he's been since that hamstring injury where his scoring average plummeted to 16 points per game and it was not quite as efficient as it was in the first half. This Tyrese Halliburton that we saw tonight was nowhere close to the version of Tyrese Halliburton we saw in those five regular season games. And again, that is another thing to keep an eye on when we talk about adjustments. But what matters most is the Bucks knew they were in a vulnerable spot entering this series without Giannis, not knowing when he's going to return in this series. Or frankly, we should say not knowing if Giannis is going to return in this series. Doc Rivers had some encouraging things on that front before the game. We'll get to that a little bit later. But you knew you would play game one without Giannis. How can you steal this game? And I don't think the Bucks stole this game. I think they outplayed the Indiana Pacers. But again, a playoff series is all about change and adjustments, and you have to understand those are coming. So how do the Bucks respond starting on Tuesday? 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as, again, an iconic performance, at least in the first half, from Damian Lillard. leads the Bucks to this Game 1 victory. Again, the number to join us on Bucks Talk is 855-616-1620. Let's kick things off, head to the phone lines, and talk with Bodie in Waukesha. You're up first.
So a few things that I thought were good tonight were, like, me and my dad were at the game, and a few things that I thought were good tonight were, like, that we stopped. We found a way to stop, what's his name? Tyrese Halliburton. And do I think that will happen every game? No. But what I do think is that if we can do it again, that will help us win the series. And, like, if we get Giannis to full, like, health soon, I think that will help us cruise through the playoffs. But another thing that I thought was good was we had decent defense tonight that, like, we're used to, but I was thinking, like, it'd be bad tonight because of Tyrese Halliburton, but we found a way to stop him.
Yeah, thanks for the call. The defense was a big part of this. Is, you know, Damian Lillard certainly is going to get the headlines for what he did in the first half. It was almost, I don't know how to put it other than it's what you've come used to from Damian Lillard when we talk about inconsistencies. And again, it's not putting blame on Damian Lillard. It's been an adjustment for Dame to go from being the guy in Portland to figuring out how do I make this work with Giannis. But I think the one thing that you would point to is look at Damian Lillard's numbers in the games that Giannis did not play in. He averaged about 30 points per game. His efficiency went up. His assist numbers went up as well. And those, I think the easiest way to explain it is just that those are the games where Damian Lillard had been able to be Damian Lillard again and not trying to figure out, okay, where do I fit in around Giannis and vice versa? And that is certainly what we saw in the first half of this game when he was on attack from the moment this game started. He was scoring at all three levels. And as Doc Rivers joked after the game, too, I thought those free throws early really helped him because he was getting into the paint. He was driving and finishing at the rim. Then he started getting to the free throw line. And as they will tell you, don't put a gunslinger on the free throw line because the free throws are how he's going to get the rest of his shot starting to roll. And that's what we saw from Dame in that first quarter where I believe it was 19 that he scored and then finished the half with 35 points. And every time the Bucks were pushed and felt that challenge from the Indiana Pacers, they responded. And I think that is the other thing to really keep an eye on in this series is, you know, we can point to no Giannis. We can point to the Pacers won 4 out of 5 games in the regular season when both of these teams were different. Pascal Siakam did not play in any of those 5 games. We can point to the coaching change for the Bucks, how their defense has progressed. We can point to Pat Beverly. But there was no Pascal Siakam for the Indiana Pacers. They've been a slower-paced team, not that they're a slow team. Their pace has changed since that trade. They've become more of a half-court offense. But this Bucks defense, what they were able to do in this game, that's one of those things that pointed out is, look, we feel pretty confident that we have Pat Beverly that's going to help us on the perimeter, and that was such a big issue in those 5 regular season games. We know the pace is going to slow down once you get to the postseason. But also, we have an experienced group. Even if you don't have Giannis, you got Damian Lillard, who played in his 62nd career postseason game tonight. You have Brooke Lopez and Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton, who are all part of that championship team in 2021. You have Jay Crowder, who has been in a lot of postseason games, has made the playoffs every year but his rookie year, has played in the NBA Finals. And you have an Indiana Pacers team that just doesn't have a whole lot of postseason experience, really save for their head coach in Rick Carlisle. And that counts for something. I think especially in that first half tonight, you saw a tentative Indiana Pacers team that maybe wasn't adjusted to the postseason just yet. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk as the Bucks take Game 1 in this best-of-seven series behind 35 points from Damian Lillard. More of your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Team-point home win tonight for the Bucks, who take Game 1 in this series against the Indiana Pacers. They do so with Giannis on the sidelines and behind a 35-point first half from Damian Lillard. As you know, as I mentioned, it really felt like a team that had heard all the chatter, that Damian Lillard had heard all the chatter. Malik Beasley himself told me and Dave Kane after the game, you know, he's one of our leaders. He's the guy we lean on for these things. And Dame was out to prove he is still Damian Lillard. That's what you saw in those first 24 minutes. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and check in with Dick in Port Washington. How's it going tonight, Dick?
Very good. This was a defensive victory. But a couple other points I wanted to make. You know, I can hear the haters saying, well, Dame only had 35 points in the first half, didn't do anything in the second half. Well, the reason they didn't do any second half, they threw everything but the kitchen sink at him, and that freed up the other guy. I think Chris had a hell of a game, so did Bobby. But I think the most salient point I heard tonight actually came from you, talking about the difference of play. Devin Siakam blows this team down. And I think Doc, I don't know if it was intentional, but I think he was willing to live with Siakam scoring 30-some points and not letting the Oshkosh guy, I just can't stand that guy, but I mean, the Oshkosh guy take over the game. And I thought it was great defensive prep. Practices made the difference. And I think now Tuesday's going to be a whole different game. But I think we approach it the same way. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I really think that was a big part of it, is especially when it really started to trigger for me, Dick, was I remember there was one play, I think in the second quarter, where the Pacers were taking the ball out of the net and Pascal Siakam got it at around mid-court. And you saw Brook Lopez directing traffic of telling Bobby Portis to go to, I think it was Miles Turner, and shifting things where you saw Brook saying, no, this is who I'm taking. Brook was somewhere around the free throw line. And we've seen a lot that Pascal Siakam can attack. He can get ahead of steam, get into the paint. He loves that elbow jumper. And kind of wondering, I don't know if this is a great matchup. But in hindsight, it seems as though that was at least part of the plan to say, look, if Pascal Siakam gets going, it's less Tyrese Halliburton. We think it's going to be less transition play. And the problem that the Bucks had was Tyrese Halliburton getting into the paint, either putting Brook Lopez in a bad spot or kicking out to shooters. Now, as we've kind of talked about along the way here, I'm not taking anything away from this Pacers team, but the offense is very different from where it was when these two teams played that fifth game, what, January 3rd. There's no more Buddy Hield. He's with the 76ers. There's no more Benedict Mathurin. He's out for the rest of the season with a labral issue. And Pascal Siakam comes in place of Bruce Brown. That's a defensive piece for the Pacers. Not that Pascal Siakam is a bad defender, but I think Bruce Brown is a better defensive player. He is more of a three-point shooter than Pascal Siakam is. And Siakam is a guy that gives them some help in the half court offensively. But I think that was the challenge this Bucks team especially had with the Pacers, was, you know, they were going to struggle to keep up at that pace that Indiana was playing at. They're the oldest team in the league. Indiana is not the oldest team in the league. And when they were playing fast, even running on Bucks makes, you could see it was catching the Bucks off guard. You mentioned this week off was a godsend for the team. Doc Rivers talked about everything they were working on during this week off, too, of defensive looks and strategies, but also taking those young guys, basically the equivalent of a scout team that you would see in football, taking those guys and just running and running at the Bucks. So you get used to getting back in half court on defense if you're Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis. And I think you saw a lot of that tonight as well. So, look, you still got to win three more games. And as you pointed to, and we've mentioned throughout the course of the show, just because you won game one by double digits and Damian Lillard went off, expect change. Rick Carlisle is a very good coach. He is a tactician, as Doc Rivers told us before the game. He's going to make adjustments. We already saw some of them in the second half, and certainly going to look for ways that they can play at a much, much faster pace. But I don't know that this one could have gone any better for the Bucks tonight. The performance of Dame, the way your defense looked, the performance you got from Chris Middleton, and again, Pat Beverly, to not get lost in the shuffle as well. What he brought this team was also huge. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's squeeze in one more call here and head back to the phones. Talk with Mike, who is at the game driving home. You're up next.
How you doing, man? Well, what an atmosphere tonight. I really expected a close game. And going up against the top offensive team in the season all year, I didn't expect them. I thought the Bucks defense, I know the Patriots missed a lot of shots, but I think the pressure that the Bucks were putting them on really forced a lot of missed shots, a lot of hurried shots. I thought Haliburton was pretty much a non-factor, and pretty much their whole team, Siakam, pretty much was all they had going for them. The Bucks really locked down everybody else. Dame, that was as impressive as the first half, and all the critics and all the naysayers who thought this was terrible and this trade is a complete bust without even seeing how everything plays out, at least for tonight, where silence, he was outstanding. I thought that first half really controlled the pace and tempo because the Pacers like to get out and run what they've done as the best offensive team in the league, and the Bucks really controlled the tempo. And with the way Dame was hitting shots, they really didn't have any answer for him. And I thought that was pretty much game. He didn't even need to score. That's how dominant the Bucks were in the second half. And as you mentioned, Middleton was pretty efficient. Beverly, man, I love that guy. He's just the ultimate bulldog, does whatever is needed, getting in guys' faces, really agitating the Pacers all game. I thought top to bottom, Portis hit a couple key shots, getting the crowd going with the Bobby chant. Top to bottom, you can open a better game because a lot of people thought the Pacers were going to come in this opening game without Giannis and really take it to the Bucks. So at least for a game one, we really made a statement win. Now I want to see how the Pacers are going to bounce back game two. It's going to be fascinating. So buckle up. I thought this was going six. I still think it's going six. So can't wait for game two. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for the call, Mike. 109-94. And as we mentioned, first time the Indiana Pacers have been held below 100 points in a game in nearly 18 months. So, again, the game does slow down once you get to the postseason. That is one area the Bucks would point to and say, we feel like we have the big advantage here. But if we can make this a full-on half-court game, and that's what the Bucks did for a majority of this game, that is a major advantage for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still a handful of calls to get to. We'll get to those after this on Bucks Talk. Couldn't have asked for a better performance tonight for the Bucks as a team, and especially from Damian Lillard, who gave you 35 points. All of those came in the first half. He set the table, and everybody else did their part as well. Chris Middleton, huge in the second half for the Bucks. Pat Beverly, a huge performance throughout, doing all of the little things and the dirty work, but 23 from Chris Middleton. A double-double for Chris, a double-double for Bobby, 35 points in the first half from Damian Lillard as the Bucks. Look, you still got to win three more in this series. But it certainly had the feel of a team that had heard all of the criticism, heard from the critics all week long, heard the fact that the Indiana Pacers were the betting favorite to win this game and win this series. And it seemed as though everyone you know that projects and picks things, prognosticates series, it seems as though everyone was picking the Indiana Pacers to win this game. And the Bucks came out and answered that challenge and made a statement in this victory. 109-94, the final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Will.i.am. You're up next.
Justin, baby, playoff basketball is in full effect. The Bucks have 15 more to go. I was also at the game tonight. Listen carefully to that audio, man. I'm getting those Bobby yells early and often. Hey, I'm really happy for our team to come back responding with the chip on our shoulder. You know, everyone in the media dogged us out in games. That's why I tried to dog them out. And guess what? If that's what it takes for our man to put up 35 in the first half, a la Michael Jordan against the Blazers, man, I'm taking that all day. Another thing, man, big performance from Bobby Portis when he gutted that out. And to see him consistently go at the cup made me really proud. No kind of like immediate Bobby catch and shoots, but those back downs and those earned buckets were key. And then, Justin, you gotta love that Brooke Lopez poster out of nowhere. You know, I'm going to need an 8x11. I'm going to need something for the rim of that, man. And by the calls of this game, I thought that was going to be overturned for a charge. But, hey, I'm so happy to see us dunking all over these Pacers, man. We didn't stand a chance.
You know,
no Bucks, man, for real. Well,
yeah, and I think, and you could speak to this too, the atmosphere, I mean, we could feel it in the booth, but Damian Lillard has had a couple of these for the Bucks this season, but this is what you came to expect, right? When you made this trade and you talked about Dame time and moments that he's had in the playoffs, it's that. It's in the playoffs and the magnitude that carries. Witnessing that and seeing him just go nuclear and you know, reminding yourself, oh, yeah, that's right, you don't have Giannis, but this is why you traded for Damian Lillard. That was an experience in itself, just seeing Dame do that in those first 24 minutes.
Agreed. You know, I've been very fortunate to watch basketball since, you know, five. I can remember everything. And, again, Kobe, Jordan, LeBron, our boy Giannis, they come with this almost raging bull mentality. And when you saw him get those high picks right off the bat, and you saw him with that pep in his step, Justin, and you saw Dame actually commit, which is something I've harped on him multiple times. You can see this kind of half self of Dame, but when it's playoff time, baby, I don't know what it is. If they got to get that back burner going, the deep fryer frying, oh boy, saw it all on display, especially with those first steps, Justin. You can't stop him when he's like that.
No, you can't stop him, and this in many ways, and thanks for the call, Will, just what the doctor ordered for this team is, you know, I think everybody kind of quietly aligned on that, too, is, man, it doesn't seem like Giannis is going to play in game one. I think we're all kind of there, at least if you're being honest with yourself, is I don't think we're going to see Giannis maybe early in this series. It's going to be probably a couple of games that you miss him. And now having said that, we'll see Giannis end up playing on Tuesday. Who knows? But I think we all kind of, that was the bargain, is you realize Giannis is unlikely to play, but then remembering, well, look, this is a team that, granted, some pieces have changed, but, you know, I don't think it's all that ridiculous of a comp to look back at those two games in the conference finals in 2021 when you played an Atlanta Hawks team that you were clearly a better team then. But you were playing without Giannis, and you had to win that game or those games without Giannis. You did that behind Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton. Drew Holiday, granted, was on the roster. But you looked at this, too. And, again, it's a Pacers team that does not have a whole lot of postseason experience. It's basically Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner that have been in the postseason with that group before. The Bucks have a lot of it. And the Bucks have those guys yet that we just referenced, except for Drew Holiday, that stepped up in the absence of Giannis. Chris Middleton had the biggest step up. When we talk about most points scored in a quarter, this was the second most in the playoffs, second most since Chris's 23. That was in that series against the Atlanta Hawks with no Giannis. So the pieces are still there. And again, we've seen Damian Lillard do this a lot in his postseason career. Four times that he has scored 40 or more points in a playoff game. Twice that he had scored 50 or more, including the last time he was in the playoffs. This is where Dame time comes from. When you think about Damian Lillard rising to these moments, it's been an inconsistent year for Damian Lillard. It has been, frankly, an inconsistent year for just about everybody on this Bucks team. And I think there are a lot of reasons to explain why. It was getting tougher and tougher to make those explanations when you saw more and more of the inconsistency. You think back to earlier in the year when we would mention all of those numbers that bode well for the Bucks. Their net rating in games against the best teams in the league. Their win percentage against those teams. Their ratings with Giannis and Dame and Chris Middleton on the floor. Their five-man groups and how those rated compared to other five-man lineup totals across the league. You can point to all of these things and say, look, it's just a blip on the radar. You see enough of a sample size among these things that you feel pretty confident in this group. But then along the way, you could start to point to just as many data points that would suggest, you know, this team is really playing like a 500 team or worse. And it would suggest they're lucky to be in the first round of the playoffs. That's what's made this season the toughest to really set your expectations on. Is I've seen one end of the spectrum, I've seen the other. The truth, as we know, is always somewhere in the middle. You're hoping it's, you know, middle closer to that portion that we pointed to in their win percentage and net rating against the best teams in the league. But we've just had so many different data points around this team this year. This team, meanwhile, has kind of maintained and told us all along, we feel pretty good about where we are. We know what we can expect from this group at the biggest moments, in those biggest moments, because this group has been through them, and we believe in this group. I think they may have thrown a lot of people off of the scent with their play in the last month or so, but if you can bottle this and keep playing the way they did tonight, that was a big first step. But again, one game doesn't win the series. But if you can keep playing this way, that's going to go a long way in shifting the opinion of the Bucks. But as I've maintained all along, Bucks came into this playoffs under the radar, essentially. They were no longer going to be the hunter or the hunted. They were not the team that was going to be the favorite. They were picked by just about everyone you can think of to lose this series. And in a year full of inconsistency, a year full of change, a year where this team has just kind of needed time to figure things out, that may end up being the best possible thing for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still a few more calls to get to. We'll hear from you next.
This is Bucks Talk.
.109-94 final here as the Bucks take down the Pacers in game one of this best of seven series. An iconic performance from Damian Lillard, at least in the first half, and a pretty solid defensive performance from this Bucks team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with James on the south side. You're up next.
Yeah, so but nice win for the Bucks. Why didn't you guys just why didn't they leave Dame in there and let him score 70 points and really make a statement tonight? I thought that would have been a lot better than 35 points first half, and you know everybody else played a game in the second half. I think if you really let him in there and make 70 points, that would have made a real statement and a half to everybody else in that.
It would have been something. Yeah, thanks for the call, James. Look, the Pacers were pretty keyed in on Damian Lillard in the second half, and I would imagine we'll see some similar looks throughout this series. Because look, Indiana can point to their three-point shooting in the first half and say, we feel like we were in this if that wasn't the case. Those missed threes. I think the Bucks would say, look, if anybody can relate to missed threes, it's us. So you're not going to find any sympathy from this group. But I didn't think that's the only reason why the Bucks won the game, right? When the Pacers made those adjustments, and we saw early in the second half, as soon as the Bucks inbounded the ball to Damian Lillard, an immediate double to try to get the ball out of his hands ASAP. I thought the Bucks did some nice things. You know, Dame not forcing things, and Dame just letting the game come to him in that second half. Chris Middleton was there to pick up the slack. Pat Beverly made plays all over the floor. Malik Beasley hit some big threes in the second half. So I thought that was the big thing for the Bucks was even without Damian Lillard scoring in the second half, your offense didn't crater. It played much better in the fourth quarter. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. Head back to the phone lines and talk with Dale in Oak Creek. You're up next.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was watching the Bucks game, and then I saw Giannis out today, and then today still won. So can they win this awful game then?
Well, thanks for the call. That is the million-dollar question, is can they keep doing this without Giannis? And look, there are some areas that you're going to be able to take advantage of on this Pacers team. I keep harkening back to that series against the Boston Celtics where the Bucks ultimately lost. That was a much better Celtics team than this Pacers team is, right? But what the Bucks had to do to really muddy up the game and to try to even the playing field as much as they could was just say, look, we're going jumbo here. We're playing through our size. You saw a lot of minutes with Giannis and Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez on the floor together early in that series. Obviously, with no Giannis until who knows when, that is not going to be an option. But Brooke and Bobby will. And that's what the Bucks are going to have to do, is make sure this remains a half-court series and that you take advantage of your size. Because some of the other things to point to, just as I mentioned, the Pacers could look at their 0 for, I believe it was 12 or 13 start from three and say, you know, if we start to make some of those threes, it certainly doesn't reach a 27-point margin that we need to come back from, and we think we're right back in this game. The Bucks can point to things as well. As Doc Rivers made that comment after the game, we played good, still some things we need to clean up, and we certainly have to do that in time for game two. I think their work on the glass was one of those, because that was one of the areas you wondered, are the Bucks going to say, look, we know the Pacers are going to run, so we may as well just start to eat on offensive rebounds. Are you going to see more crashing on the offensive glass, at least doing it smartly? Didn't really see a ton of it tonight. And the Pacers, meanwhile, got a lot of offensive rebounds. So that's one of those areas the Bucks could point to and say, look, if that goes differently, it's right back to that 20-plus point margin. So that's the beauty of a postseason series. It is the same two teams, and it is a series filled with adjustments, and that is what we expect to see on Tuesday night when Game 2 tips off in this building. A couple of more calls to get to. We'll hear from you and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
I'm on top of the world. Hey.
109-94, our final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. It is the Bucks taking Game 1 in this series. Despite the absence of Giannis, despite the fact they were not the favorites to win this series against the Indiana Pacers team that won 4 of the 5 regular season matchups. And again, it's one game. This does not mean the series is over. It doesn't mean it's going to be a sweep. But it reinstills some of that confidence that Bucks fans were looking for. That Damian Lillard still has that version of Damian Lillard that he can go to. That this group still has that defensive gear they can get things to. Is that's what we saw tonight against this Pacers team, doing a great job of slowing down Indiana and making this a half-court game. Let's head back to the phone lines here. Squeeze in one more before we wrap things up. Ross in Green Bay, you're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, my son and I were at the game, and I know playoff basketball is a lot different, but it sure was refreshing to see some good defense finally, and you got to give it to Doc Rivers, I feel like, to get having them ready. You can just tell they're ready to play, and it'll be interesting to see, I think, the chess match between Carlisle and Rivers, and I guess that's why we traded for Doc, his playoff experience, and hopefully that pays off. And I guess the last thing I wanted to say is that trade for Damian paid off already, game one.
Yeah, I mean, as long as Damian Lillard can keep doing this, thanks for the call, Ross. But certainly, as you know, I understand why you heard more and more people picking the Pacers to win this game. The uncertainty of Giannis, we still don't know when Giannis is going to return. And again, I'll add the caveat, if Giannis is going to return in this series. Game number two is on Tuesday night, and that would be 2 weeks to the day from Giannis suffering that soleus strain against the Boston Celtics. Game number three is Friday night, so you're starting to shift closer to 2.5 weeks. Game four is 1 week from tonight. And then game number five will be played 1 week from this upcoming Tuesday. That will be 3 weeks from the time that Giannis suffered that injury. I think if you're the Bucks, you would obviously love if by the time you get to game five, assuming you need a game five, you're up 3-1. Maybe Giannis has not played in the series yet, and that's 3 weeks removed from the injury. Everybody is different. We all know that. I'm going to throw out that caveat. Everybody reacts differently. Giannis has superhuman healing powers. We get all of that. But everything that you had heard about this injury is, in most cases, it's a 2 to 4 week recovery timeline. So I think all along, the very earliest we were going to see Giannis was game two. That does not mean you're going to see him on Tuesday. But I think all along that was probably the best case scenario, is he plays in game two. You'll hear a lot of, well, now that the Bucks won that game, they don't need to bring him back for game two. Maybe he plays in game three. I don't think it's that simple. When Giannis is ready to play, Giannis is going to play. You're not saving him for the moment that you need him. But winning without Giannis is going to be important. And maybe, just maybe, the other big part of this is, you know, the regular season, we saw games, especially early in that season, this season, where Giannis wasn't playing. Giannis wasn't available. Damian Lillard was, and that's when we saw Damian Lillard start to get going offensively. We certainly saw that tonight. Now, there are going to be adjustments made by the Pacers. You know their big thing is, look, the Bucks beat us because Damian Lillard erupted in the first half. We got to do everything we can to throw bodies at him, slow him down, and make sure he doesn't get going, because we don't trust the other guys to get going without Damian Lillard having done so. So I'm going to be very curious to see what that chess match is and how the Pacers react. But who's going to be the guy that steps up for the Bucks? Maybe it's Giannis. Maybe he's back in game two. Who knows? But that's the beauty about the playoffs, is it is always a role player. Your stars are going to be your stars, and they are going to give you those performances you expect. But there's always one of those role players that steps up and has a big, big game, or a couple of big moments in the game, a 5-6 minute stretch. That's what to keep an eye on coming up on Tuesday. Tuesday night, game number two. That is a 7:30 tip from here in Milwaukee. 7 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. 35-point performance from Damian Lillard lifts the Bucks to this Game 1 victory. We'll be back with more thoughts following Game 2 on Tuesday night on Bucks Talk.